We understood that mom and dad would not be there in the summer. We understood that while our friends were taking vacations, we wouldn't be. And we accepted it, and we never complained. I don't think we ever like cared to, you know, hold it against our parents.
Welcome you and all to another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast, where we talk about, say it with me, Latino, everything. Thank you very much for being here. Make sure you go and subscribe to the channel. You already know the business. It helps a lot with the content of Latino, with the community of the Latino, showing representation, showing examples of amazing people doing amazing things. So make sure you go and subscribe and share the message. Want to give a big shout out going out to World System Builders that allowed us to record in this beautiful place. Thank you very much. They're doing an amazing job. They have an amazing campaign going on. Make sure you go and check them out. If you're interested, let me know in the comments. Today, we have an amazing episode. Why? Because we have today a woman entrepreneur, DFW meal prepper, also has been featured on various magazines, owner of Healthy Bites by Jazz, LLC, Jasmine Cornero La Casa. Cornejo. One more time. Cornejo. We have an audience. We started implementing a live audience. We hope to grow hundreds, thousands of people. Sorry about that mispronunciation. My apologies. How you doing today?
Good. I'm doing good. How are you?
Thank you so much for being here, besides just already messing up the last name. But I appreciate it very much that you're here, taking the time out of your day to come and check us out. You brought some gifts, but we'll go and talk about that here very shortly. Pero primero, we're going to start with a segment that I like to call Preguntas al Chile.
Preguntas al Chile.
Yes, I stay ready.
Stay ready. You got to get ready.
I stay ready, yes.
Tacos o tortas?
Tacos.
Corn tortilla or flour tortilla?
Corn all the way.
Gorditas o sopes?
Gorditas.
Mexican Coca o Jarritos?
Jarritos now.
She changed. She actually brought us gifts. Unfortunately, Jarritos not sponsoring us yet, but she did us a great favor and brought us some amazing Jarritos. Out of these Jarritos, which one would you pick?
The piña. That's my favorite.
The piña is your favorite. I would say piña too.
Yeah. That's good.
Okay, continuamos. Agua de horchata, Jamaica, or tamarindo?
Jamaica.
Salsa verde o salsa roja?
La que pique más, pero I'll say green.
The spicier one.
Yes. Yeah, I like the fire spicy, too. Spicy.
I like the fire. Food is not food without spiciness.
Yeah, with a little bit of moquito.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitivamente. Menudo or pozole?
Menudo.
Wow. Churros or flan?
Flan.
And she checked out the episode. She knows what this was about. The questions were already the same, pretty much, but it's difficult when you're in the hot chair.
Yes. Like, what's going on? It does feel a little hot.
Yeah. Valentina, Tapatio, or Cholula, or even Tabasco hot sauce. ¿Cuál?
Tabasco.
And the conchitas, the pastries, the brown ones, the white ones, pink ones.
Brown.
Are you into conspiracies at all? Do you care about conspiracies? Not your thing?
If you ask me, I'm going to say no, but if you ask other people, maybe they'll say yes.
All right. So, a conspiracy theory that one time you heard and you were like, that has to be true. Anything?
Oh, my gosh.
Aliens.
Aliens. I wasn't even surprised when it came out, to be very honest
with
you.
They said that they...
Yes. I was like, bravo, por fin. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for letting us know something that we already knew.
Right.
Kind of, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Since it's the government and we're supposed to kind of believe them. Yeah. It's like, okay, now we're real.
For sure.
When you hear the word Latina or Latino or Latinx, what comes to mind first?
Strength. Warrior. Yeah, strength, warrior, definitely.
Do you consider yourself Latina? Do you care to be called Latina? Do you prefer Mexicana? What is the term for you? Or human?
I mean, Mexicana, Latina, both.
Awesome. Amazing.
I would say both.
Thank you very much. Okay, so let's start the interview. You reached out to us.
Yes.
And I appreciate it very much. Eve, I think we would have found each other eventually because some right. of the people we follow is almost the same ones.
Yes. So
I would eventually seen you do your thing and would have drawn my attention and I would have been like, who is this? Because I also like to find people, you know. It's awesome. Not like too hard to get in the podcast, but at the same time, I do want people that are busy doing, being productive, are serious about their business. A lot of the criteria that I go off is like minimum 5 years or so to doing whatever you're doing, to mm-hmm. know that you're devoted to do whatever it is that you're doing, you know. You don't have the time, but again, the seriousness of having an LLC, because I know what it takes to build one. I thought it yes. was amazing to have you. It was an honor to have you here.
Thank you.
Because I think you have a very interesting story.
Thank you so much.
Let's start off with, we're born here in
yes,
California.
In California.
But do you know where your parents' journey is to the States?
Yes. So my parents actually were born in Mexico, mm-hmm. Michoacan to be exact.
Michoacan.
Yes. And they did actually cross the river. My oldest brother, my favorite brother, he actually was a baby when they crossed over. And my parents tell us a story that they had him on una llanta and it was floating and they floated serious? Him. And yeah, so they did actually swim the river and came here and they landed. They first, I guess they stopped in California and that's mm-hmm. where they had the rest of us because there's five of us. So it's
sisters in the yes. audience checking.
Yes.
So five of y'all.
Yes, five kids. My oldest brother Rudy that was born in Mexico, and then we have Leo, RC, myself, and then our little one here, Lucy. So
the baby in the house.
La bebé.
So all y'all were born in California?
Yes.
And then where did the journey come to get to Texas? Because is that where y'all came?
Yes. So 1992 is when my parents came here to, well, to be exact, Grand Prairie, Texas is where we were. And that's where we were raised. We started, I think it was like an apartment. It was really hard for them to get in here because in California, we actually lived out of somebody's garage. My dad was the only provider. My mom had five kids. So my dad was the only provider at that time. So when we came here, we were in an apartment for a while. And then we actually got kicked out of that apartment because apparently I tore flowers out of their garden.
You tore flowers out of a garden and that caused them to get kicked out? Mm-hmm. So you were a troublemaker back in the days, a little bit?
Well,
or just that one time?
No. I think I'm just very, I'm very giving.
Yeah.
And I like to do research and find what people like. And I'm very, you know, I like doing things for people. And I think that time I was just trying to give something to my mom, maybe. I don't know.
Oh, wow.
But yeah. So, I doubt it was a bad intention.
So your mom liked flowers. Mm-hmm. You saw the flowers.
Yeah.
Was thinking back a little bit. And then all of a sudden, it's like, well, this look good enough.
Yeah.
Let's give it to your mom. So that caused you to get kicked out.
Yeah. That's what my mom's told me. I don't know.
So where did they have to go after that?
So luckily, they had my dad had brothers in the area. So we were able to move into a duplex. So we were all raised in a one-room duplex for almost our entire life, up until maybe high school. So
that's wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You know what? I heard a lot of people from California or that live in California live like Becky G, her mm-hmm. mom or her family used to live in a garage too.
Yeah.
So it's like a thing over there in California, right?
It has to be because I always think about it. Everybody talks about, you know, California being glamorous and all the rich people are there. But yeah, we lived out of somebody's garage and my dad said even then rent was not cheap.
So you were wondering, where is it at? Where's the luxury they be talking about?
It's okay though. I don't really remember much about living in California, to be very honest.
Really?
Yeah. Some people always talk about like childhood and when they were little. I really don't have a lot of memory. So I'm assuming that I didn't have anything traumatic happen to me or anything like that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's good. It's good that
it
you
is.
Have that.
It is, for sure.
How, looking back now at the way that your parents were managing and how hard they were work, like how hard do you think they were working at that time? And even with the highest effort that they had, they were still not able to, you know, get a bigger place or whatever the case might be because, you know, it was still kind of difficult for them to get means. Do you remember and you can kind of sort of see that was the case back then?
Yeah, I mean, I think once we came to Grand Prairie and we were living in the duplex, I just remember both my parents working. I remember, and, you know, back then, me and my sister were the closest ones. So all my brothers, they all work. They've always worked their entire life. I've always admired their hard work. RC, which is the one that's a little older than me, since he was able to work, he's been working. He's such a hard worker. I've always admired him, but I feel like our parents just work so much. And we just understood the assignment per se. Yeah. You know, we understood that mom and dad would not be there in the summer. We understood that while our friends were taking vacations, we wouldn't be. And we accepted it, and we never complained. I don't think we ever like cared to, you know, hold it against our parents. Like nowadays, you know, you have kids and they're like, why can't I go? And it's like, only if you knew, like, we accepted it and we were happy. Right. Me and my sister had a schedule during the summertime. Lunette the clown, I don't know if you remember that girl that
yes,
the comfy
yes, yes,
Lunette
yes.
in the
I
big comfy
her.
Couch.
I
oh my God.
Her.
So we started with lunch together. We would heat up burritos or a maruchan, and then we would watch that show together, and when she cleaned, it was our turn to clean the living room too before our parents got home. So we had a schedule. And then it was a guy that drew. He taught you how to draw. I forget what that name of the
Ross.
Show was. Yes. So we would draw with him, me and my sister. Our parents did get us like little libretitas to draw and things like that. And so, yeah, we had a schedule in the summer, and it just worked out for me and her. And we loved it. We were happy.
As you're talking, I'm reflecting back on my life or how yeah. our parents were always used to work. In the summertime, mm-hmm. we'd stay home with yeah. the doors locked yeah. and don't open the door to anyone.
No, le abras la puerta a nadie.
And the same way, have a schedule of the things we wanted to
yes.
alternate. Before our parents got home to
yes.
make sure that it was clean.
Yeah.
Maybe sometimes it was under the couch and then make it look like it was clean.
Yes.
And then as soon as they opened the door, we were out the door.
Yeah.
Sometimes
outside,
sometimes faster
day.
Because we might have broken a window or made a hole in the wall.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, man, we couldn't leave.
Yeah.
Even if we wanted to because
yeah.
we were young. At least mm-hmm. I was 11. My sister was younger. So
yeah.
how old were you at that time?
I want to say maybe I was around, I think my sister was maybe 8 and I was 11 or yeah, somewhere
oh,
around
wow.
there. So we're around this, yeah, around that same age as well. We did get to travel to Mexico though. Almost every summer we'd get off of school in La Troca, hasta donde quepa las cosas. And we would just travel and we would go there with our parents for, I think, 2 weeks. And I think that's what all they allowed maybe at their job at the time, now that I think about it. And we would come back home and me and my sister got into routine. Our two older brothers, they were working at Terry's, which is Jerry's, or I don't know what it is now. It's a market, a Mexican.
A market,
yes,
Jerry's.
Mm-hmm,
Jerry's.
In Grand Prairie. And then the youngest, he worked too. I think he was like doing candy bars or I don't know. He was
okay.
always out.
So he's the one that kind of sort of started
yes.
guiding you through becoming somewhat, you can see, an entrepreneur.
Yes, for
because,
sure.
And that was, what's his name?
RC.
So RC is
mm-hmm.
the one that started a business in
yes.
school selling candy bars. And he would give the story that it would be for like a trip or something like that.
Yeah. So he was actually working for somebody. And this guy.
He working for a person?
Yes. It's a person.
Oh, wow.
They would pick. It's really sketch now that I think about it because I would never allow my kids to do this now. But it was a white van. It would pick you up. You would go in this van. They would give you a bucket full of candies. And you would stand in the corner of like Target, Walmart or something. And you would say, hey. My name is Jasmine. I am trying to raise money for a Dreams Foundation to travel to go. We really weren't. The whole time I really thought we were taking a trip. So I was like down for this. And then I told my brother, like, how many candy bars do I have to sell to get to this trip? Because I've
yeah.
always kind of been like, give me a goal. I need a goal.
Yeah.
And he's like, sis, we don't go nowhere. You just make like you make 50 cents. So we sold the candy bars for $2 and we got 50 cents for every $2 we sold.
What a scam.
Right?
Not only the sketchy van, but the payoff
yes.
was even sketchier.
Yes.
Dang.
And the only reason why my parents let me go were because two of my brothers were going at the time. So they're like, pues llévatela, está bien. So then we would go. We would get off the van and, you know, right in front of our house, it would drop us off. We would get there and there was like a little Fina next to our house, which mm-hmm. is like a gas station, old gas station. And we would get off and, you know, we'd go there and, I thought we were all going to spend our own money, but really I would have to spend my money and they kept theirs. So,
wow.
Yeah, it was very
and
unfair.
You sold thousands and thousands of candy
yeah.
bars. You never took this freaking trip that they
yeah.
told you about.
Never went to
what
it. So don't believe
scam.
Them, guys. Don't believe them.
But there's something interesting that you said that, I know this is part of one of the things that you had talked about, which is goals.
Oh, yeah.
When did you begin to, in your early mind, did you begin to see that goals matter for you for a certain reason? You saw productivity within your life. I don't know the reason why you mm-hmm. began to use them. When did that start for you?
I don't know. I would say after my first child, honestly, I just mm-hmm. kind of felt like, so I got pregnant at a very young age and I always told myself like, I'm not going to be the person that they say, like, oh, se embarazó at a young age and she's not doing nothing with her life. So my goal was to find somewhere
mm-hmm.
and have some kind of certification or be somebody out here and work and provide for my kid. And I think that's kind of where it started, because I said, okay, I'm going to enroll into dental assisting school is what I started with. Mm-hmm. I said, it was going to take me 9 months. I said, perfect. By the time I have her, she'll be out. I'll be ready for work. Like, you know, it should work all out. And I would say yes, right when I became a mother is kind of where my goal setting started.
Wow.
You know, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. Let's backtrack a little bit before we go to the dental. Yes. Appreciate you sharing that. But I appreciate that one of your goals this year was to be on a podcast, yes. and we're able to fulfill that yes. for you.
Thank you so much so for that.
Knock it out the bucket list.
Yes.
Your brother, after the candy bar mm-hmm. situation, the same person that hired him saw that he had potential in sales. So he started selling vehicles mm-hmm. and he took you along, not yes. to sell vehicles, but within the office yes. space. What did you learn when you were in that environment?
Hustle. For sure. I literally recently was telling my oldest about this. So when he left with him, I think I was maybe 15. And my brother's like, hey, sis, like, if you want to make some money, maybe you should come and like fill out paperwork, like title work, like we can show you.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, great. Well, it was called Vango Auto Group. And he sold cars strictly out of eBay. And it was really weird. So like the customers would be out of state. They would bid on the car on eBay. Uh-huh. I would do all the transaction.
Yeah.
I would, at 15 years old without a driver's license, I would drive to the airport, pick up the customer, bring them back to the shop, and they would look at the vehicle, drive it around, and then I would finish off paperwork, and then they would drive their vehicle back to whatever state they came from.
You're just adamant in staying within sketchy businesses.
I know.
You?
And you know what? I really didn't realize it.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't, because, you know, when you're that young, you just, and you know, you don't think there's any bad out there. And I really don't think there was as bad as it is now, for sure. You know, I don't think so. Or maybe it just wasn't known.
Well, I'm just happy that you were good to go. but again, that's our mentality, just to go, right? Not where you're concerned,
absolutely.
Especially it seems like you were brought in a good upbringing. Not thinking about the craziness of the world, but just trying to do and provide for your family.
Yes, for sure.
Did you have your baby at that time already?
Yeah. So no. So I worked there I would say like spring break, every Christmas break. You know, my friends traveled and I went to work and I just kept saving money. My parents still provided for me. Mm-hmm. And I would, you know, every phone that came out, I had it. You know, I kind of like was able to spend on things I really liked back then. And then I got, let's say I had my daughter when I was 18. And during that summertime, I would take her, I had a baby pen in the corner and she'd go to work with me and she'd be there more than 8 hours a day sometimes. And
really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Yeah. That's amazing.
Yep.
And, of course it was your brother was there. So they didn't say anything.
No.
Cool that you were there.
Yeah. I mean, it was either I would have to stay home with my daughter or I'd have to take her with me. So,
So during that time, after that, you get a different perspective in life when you have your first kid,
yes,
but you get
sure.
into a different type of journey at that time. What is that?
Dental assisting. So I had my sister-in-law who was, doing dental assisting and, I kind of did a little research. I said, oh my God, like this is quick, you know, and I've really always been interested in dental stuff since I was a little kid and my parents would take us to our dental visits. So I said, yeah, this is going to be perfect. You know, I can be done. I can start providing. And then I get pregnant with my son. Mm. So, but I started as a dental assistant and that's kind of was my next journey. And still is to this point, I still have an 8-to-5 that I work.
Mm-hmm. And then, but within that time also, is that now when you get into actual fitness and focusing more on, because there was a situation with your kid that he was diagnosed at a later time with diabetes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So actually, I was married. I got married to my kid's father. I experienced marriage. It didn't work out. We divorced in 2016, July of 2016. I think I just celebrated 7 years of freedom. And we divorced and yeah, I think that same day that my divorce papers got signed, I said, I'm going to start working out because at the time I wasn't able to work out. And I know now I say, and it sounds so dumb. And I'm like, why would you even let anybody like control you in that way? But yeah, I wasn't like able to work out or do the things that I wanted to do for just to make myself feel good at that time to get out of that hole. And so when my divorce was finalized, I started running. I started running and running and running. I mean, Cedar Hill Ridge Preserve, the trails that are out there. Yep. I mean, they were my best friend. Like, I would run sometimes for miles and not even realize it until I was done. So,
wow. What did you learn during that time? It doesn't sound dumb, first of all, because at the same time, you know, you're in a relationship, mm-hmm. you're in love, whatever the case might be. But at the same time, what are the things that you started seeing later on that were kind of like language that was manipulative, that, you know, that that's the reason why you were not able to get into workout or whatever the case might be, because you knew that certain things that being said to you was affecting you and that kept you from working out or from doing different things?
Yeah. I felt like it was a lot of like accusing, like, oh, you're going to go because you're going to go see somebody. You're going to go because there's a guy that you, and it was just a lot of kind of making me feel in a way that I didn't want to jeopardize anybody thinking that I was going to go off with a guy at the gym. I didn't want to jeopardize anybody feeling not secure about themselves or feeling like, you know, what they're thinking is going to happen. I'm such a people person, and I'm a people, you know, person pleaser, and I want everybody happy. And I'm always like, your feelings before mine. And I still to this day, I feel like I'm like that. But you know, I never wanted anything to jeopardize my relationship at the time for the sake of my kids.
Yeah.
Because coming from a, you know, Hispanic family, you're taught to fight for your family.
Absolutely.
You know, no broken homes around here. So I really tried and tried and tried. And I feel like when my, you know, escape came, I felt like it was my one chance to really give Jasmine what Jasmine has been wanting. So.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's crazy to me. So you started taking working out very seriously. Not only that, but within that time, you started to discover that you can do other stuff, not only just working out.
Yes.
You find out that people are doing meal prepping, and then you started getting involved with that. You know how to cook.
Yeah.
And then your mom said, like, mija, you know how to cook. Why don't you do this?
Yeah. So, so after my divorce, my son gets diagnosed in February of 2017.
Which type of diabetes once again?
Type 1.
Type 1 diabetes.
So he got diagnosed with that. So that kind of, it did, I thought it was going to set me back a little bit in my journey of working out, being healthy and getting fit. But I think that only escalated a little more. So my next step was, okay, I'm working out, I'm running, but I'm still eating McDonald's, Jack in a Box. Like,
wow,
let's get it together, Jess. So when that happened, that was an opportunity for me to try to start, you know, eating right. And I started like looking into meal preps, and I started buying meal preps and, you know, trying foods, and a veces no caía la comida. Like, it was discouraging sometimes, you know. I'm like,
why?
Boiled broccoli and rice.
But you're Mexicana. That's nothing to do with your palate. That's not you, right?
Absolutely not. So I was like, okay. I was like, I'm going to try to, I need to, maybe I should cook myself. And mom was like, mija, ¿sabes cocinar? Like, la única cosa sería de encontrar like a healthier version of how to prep your foods. You know, you can make anything healthy. Like, we've had on our menu albóndigas, but made by ground turkey. And you know, they're favorite. They're some of the favorite foods that people really enjoy. So yeah, I just kind of took that. At that time, I found a trainer. I started training with Lifted Official. Shout out to Leo for being my first fitness
coach.
Shout
out to Leo. Applauses for Leo. Yeah. Hey. Audio's still here in the house.
Yes, but I started working out with him. He kind of reminded me a lot of my brother, RC. He was very driven, very, you know, encouraging. And when he started seeing me take meal preps, he's like, hey, maybe you should start selling to some of the girls here. He likes to monetize a lot too, you know, find ways to make money. Let's find ways to grow. And I was like, maybe. And my God, let me tell you, those first 2 years were, I did not know what I was doing. I just knew how to, all I was doing is cooking and packing. I didn't know how to take orders. I didn't know what to charge. I didn't know the stress it would be. I had my best friend in the kitchen at one point helping me. We would say that she would chop everything up for me and I would cook everything. And then at one time, my mom's AC broke. So we were cooking over 100 meals, right? Over 200 meals maybe at that time with no AC downstairs. And then my other really good childhood friend, Vero, we would use her house sometimes too to go cook. So it was just crazy. I was just cooking out of a house, didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I could cook and I could provide these services for people.
Not only that, but I know you said that you didn't know how to take orders, but orders were coming in.
Yes.
I mean, granted, you might have lost a couple of them that could have capitalized on, but orders were coming in.
Oh, yeah.
How did you find success on people finding you? Was it word of mouth, social media?
I think word of mouth for sure, because I really wasn't doing social, like I didn't even have a business page. I just, you know, I was just focusing on taking care of the meals and getting them to the customer. I've always been huge on customer service. And even now I tell my kids, both my older kids work at Chick-fil-A. And that's funny because I always pray that they would find a job that would teach them, you know, the standards of working and
my niece works
service.
At Chick-fil-A.
Really?
And the way that they work is amazing. The
customer
way that
service.
They, yeah.
Yes, for sure. So they both work there. Now I teach them, you know, the importance of having customer service and, you know, yes, the customer is always right and you're never going to win with them. So just treat them with kindness.
I don't know about that one anymore. You know, sometimes 99.99% of the time they're right. There's so cute. A few that are just like, even though they're customers, they're not right.
Yeah, but you don't win with them sometimes.
No, you're right, though. The customer is always right. Yeah. Maybe they don't come in cursing and open up a storm, but you got to take care of them. You got to be able to learn the people skills, the ability to de-escalate, whether they're upset or not.
And
So, word of mouth runs. Is this already the business that you have? You have the name, or that's not the name anymore, right?
So I didn't have a name.
You didn't have a name?
No, it was just Jasmine. Hit up Jazz.
Hit up Jazz for meals.
Yeah.
So Jazz for meals were her first kind of business.
Yeah. So then, so I did that. And I think with my divorce, I think with my son going through diabetes, I think with taking these orders and going crazy and not really knowing how to manage that. And I had just had my third baby back in October of 2012. And with that came a little bit of baby blues and, you know, postpartum depression. And
Real is that for people that don't believe or hear that it is a real deal, right? It's like,
yeah,
if you would explain it, how would it be?
It feels like you're drowning and there's no help.
Even with a young babies, new life out of you.
Yeah. And luckily, I know there's so many forms of anxiety and depression, and maybe down the road later on, we'll talk more about that. But I feel like there's so many forms of it. And growing in a Hispanic household, you know, people just say like, estás loca.
O nomás estás triste.
Sí, estás loca, mija, eso se te va a pasar. Like, you know, luckily, not luckily. I hate to say that word, no. My mom and my dad had gone through a divorce, so my mom experienced it. So when I started going through it, my mom was my angel. My mom, like, anytime I felt that, my mom would run and grab the baby from me. And I never was the type of mom that said, oh, I have postpartum, I want to harm my baby. No, I love my babies. Had it not been for my babies, I probably would have died back in 2017. I think it's when I really said, like, it was right before my divorce. 2016, 2015, I really wanted to end my life in the shower. And the only thing that stopped me that night was my kids, you know, knocking at the door, mom, mama. And I was like, I kind of like woke up and was like, I just like, what are you thinking? What are you doing here? You know, and I cried because I felt so defeated and I felt weak for wanting to do that. But yeah, it's almost like drowning and not. Te estás ahogando and no one can save you. Nobody's hugs, nobody's kisses, nobody's, you're going to be okay. None of that helps.
And they can't really see it, right?
No.
Because everything's internal.
Yeah, and knowing, I mean, they've known me for a very long time. I'm like super crazy, super wild. I'm like happiness in a jar, like, get me out of here. Like, let's have fun. Let's enjoy life. Like, gracias a Dios que estamos aquí, you know? And when that happened, I think it really affected me because I've never experienced that type of sadness. I never experienced that type of self-doubt. And it really hit me really hard. And I feel like when I was meal prepping that time, I didn't get to heal from any of that. You know, I just kind of came in a whirlwind and I just kept going. I just kept going. I never stopped. I never stopped. So then I ended up having a really bad anxiety attack one day. And I said, I can't do this.
So that's when you decided to take a pause from the meal prepping business that was taking off.
Yeah.
But you had all the other stuff that you had to take care of it.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't even open social media because if someone asked about meal preps, I would cry. I don't know what it was. Maybe a trigger. Mm-hmm. But I couldn't even open my social media because they're like, when are you going to start meal prepping? And I didn't want to tell them. You know, I didn't want to tell them that somebody that they looked up to, that they saw working out, getting through her kid with diabetes. I didn't want them to say like, oh, she's failed us, you know, and it was so that I think that was the most heartbreaking thing for me was not being able to provide for them when they needed me.
First of all, I appreciate you sharing that part because I know it's not easy.
Yeah.
I can sense that you're holding it together very well.
Thank you.
It's not easy to be able to talk about those kind of thoughts. I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
I'm very glad you're here. I'm pretty sure everybody around is appreciative that you're here. But thank you for explaining that part, because I hear it. But when you were from the outside looking in, you don't know if how hard it is or how difficult it is, or what even happens in the mind that people want to understand. That maybe if you have a family member that has that you've seen them kind of different than you're always accustomed to, might be something going on that you might just want to be paying attention to them to make sure that they stay good.
Yeah, I feel like you honestly will never understand it unless you go through it. And I would hate for anybody to go through what that feeling is, because it really sucks, you know. But it's just, like, and I felt bad because, you know, when someone feels bad, I'm a hugger. I like to hug. I like to shake. Yeah. COVID really killed me, because everybody I came across, I'm like, and they're like, no, I'm like, okay, sorry. Like, you know, I just, like, I want to hug. Right? But, you know, I'm telling you, like, nothing can help you. It's like a mind game, and you have to defeat it. I got really involved in my church, and I prayed. I mean, I prayed, God. I was probably like one of God's biggest prayers back then, because I would pray so much, because I knew my mom raised us, you know, to siempre todo a Dios, mija. Dios está aquí. You know, he knows you. He's known you before you were even here. So my mom brought us up in church, and, you know, I prayed. But yeah, I think depression, anxiety, any kind of form of mental illness, I really think that you really have to have gone through it to be able to understand it.
Okay, so now that you pause, you can't open a social media, something starts triggering inside. First of all, how did you come out of that depression part? Of course, church, I'm sure it helped. But then jumping back into doing another go at meal prepping.
I met a girl through another mutual, really close friend of mine, and I'm not really sure her story, or I'm not really sure her behind story, or I really don't want to speak of that, of her side of the story, but she was just looking to meal prep, and she known that I had done that prior. And I'm a loyal person, and I had loyal customers at the time. And she just said, hey, like, I really need help. I think she probably asked me for 2 months, and I kept saying no, because that trigger, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was like, ugh, like when she would talk about it, and she probably doesn't know this till now, but when she would talk about it, I would drive home and I would either want to.
Quick break to let you know, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. I know you know that it helps us whenever you subscribe. Hit the like button and comment. Help us out. We appreciate it very much. And now back to the episode.
Like vomit, or like just like it really triggered me a lot.
That's how high your anxiety was at the time, for just bringing up the topic.
It was good until that was brought up again.
Wow.
And the thought of being back in the kitchen, the thought of smelling the foods again, I don't know. I couldn't. And finally she's like, look, I really need help. You know, I need to make money. Like, I really need help. And I'm like, okay, I need to help her. So we did. We did mom spoonful preps. So it was mom spoonful preps. We did it for about a year, I want to say. And I don't know. When you have two different people with two different mentalities, with two different hearts, with two different beliefs, it doesn't work out. And it didn't work out. And I was so sad, because this logo, this name, I mean, my friends really know how much thought I put into anything that I do. And, you know, whenever we broke off, since I was still working and she was a stay-at-home mom at the time, you know, she kind of created the social media. She created like the emails and things like that. So when we broke off, like, I was completely blocked of everything. I had no access to anything. I was told, like, we're not going to contact any of those customers. But a lot of those customers were customers that came along from my day one.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very unfortunate situation. But, you know, I'm glad that that did happen, now that I look back at it, because had it not been for her wanting to do this, I don't know if I would have ever picked up meal preps. I don't know if Healthy Bites could have. So that's one positive thing that I always try to turn it into, regardless of everything that was said and done. Thank you for pushing me to do meal preps, because I don't think Healthy Bites would be Healthy Bites by Jazz had that not happened.
I think if it wasn't because you were willing to put your ego aside, regardless of the anxiety, the willingness to be of selfless service and be able to help was a little bit more overpowering than the anxiety that you had for smelling and getting back in the kitchen and try to do that again.
Yeah.
How about the depression part? What helped you get through that part?
So besides medication, which I really, that was another thing that was giving me anxiety, was like, oh my God, I'm going to be this crazy girl taking pills. But no, like shout out to Dr. Escamilla in Fort Worth. She is an amazing doctor. She really never made me feel crazy, never made me feel like I was, you know, just nonsense, because I've heard that some doctors do make you feel that way. But she was really sweet. It took 5 medicines for me to find the right one for me that would still allow me to be the person I was and not a zombie, because my concern was I still got to provide for my babies.
Right.
I still have these 3 kids that need their mom, because their dad, since we've divorced, has been absent financially and physically. So I basically, it's like when push comes to shove, I didn't have a choice. You know, I didn't have a choice. And that was my mentality. Like, okay, Jazz, like, you got to go.
Was there any counseling with her at that time as you're finding medication? It was just mostly finding the right.
Yeah, just finding the right medication. Mm-hmm. I have an amazing, the group of girls that you see here.
Yeah.
Vero, I've known her since probably Head Start.
Vero, hi Vero.
Jess and Letty, I met them in 6th grade.
Hello.
And that's my sister. And honestly, I don't think I've ever switched up on any of them. We've kind of, you know, we've been friends for a long time. And they would always, I remember after I had Maddie, I was going through that, they were always there, you know, always in the room, always trying to help. And God bless them, because I know like they were really trying, and at that time it wasn't. But so medication for a year, I got finally was able to wing off of the medicine, working out for sure, having the right nutrients in my body, and sleeping when I can.
Okay. Yeah. So during a time you are in a deep dream sleep, mm-hmm. and something's given to you at that time, something's provided to you at that time. Can you tell us what it is?
Yeah, so I remember being really upset about the situation when I first broke off with my meal prep partner, because
you slept like a whole entire day after that situation, right?
No, not an entire day, but I did sleep.
I sleep a lot. A big nap.
It was on my couch right before I went to sleep. I was very sad. I said, you know what, God, please put peace in my heart and shut my mouth, because, you know, I'm human. I have feelings too. And I was upset. And, you know, sometimes you want to fight to defend your name, but I pray and I say, you know what, God, just take care of it. Like, let people know me for who I am and not for who they say I am or she says I am. So I took a nap that day on my couch. And after I prayed, I had a dream. There was oranges, there was green, there was, you know, a heart. And I always knew that I wanted to put a heart in my logo, because everything I do with heart, mm-hmm. no matter what it is.
Yeah.
And I remember just waking up and I looked at Ram, my partner now, Ram. I said, babe, I have it. And he's just like looking at me, because I guess he took a nap too. So he's kind of looking at me like,
what's going on?
And I get up and I'm on Google. Who can help me make a logo? Like, I didn't even reach out to nobody. I kept it very secretive mm-hmm. of what my logo was going to look like. So I went online, I found a company that has a whole bunch of students that do them for a certain, depending on what their experience is.
Right.
And I reached out to them and she sent me 5 different logos. And that first one was exactly mimicking my dream. And I said, this is it. And this is God. I said, so we're running with it.
Yeah.
And the name and everything, I knew I wanted my name in there, because I want you to know that Jazz is back.
That's
we're
awesome.
Back in business.
So when did you establish you got the logo, you found exactly what mm-hmm. you saw in your dreams, and now you begin to work on the actual business structure of it.
Yeah.
With all the things that you dealt with doing meal preps, with the beginning to the experience you had to mm-hmm. now building your own, what lessons did you learn to help you implement for Jazz, for Healthy Bites to be yours?
Organization for sure, because I didn't have that before. So being organized, a lot of Google Docs,
mm-hmm.
You know, social media is huge. I did, you know, start my own social media page, and this was back in November of 2020. And, you know, I just kept working. I, you know, read a lot. I did a lot of listening to podcasts, a lot of books. I don't like physically reading, but I like listening to podcasts, and I do Audible, Amazon Audible as well. And I just
we're on Audible too, by the way. If you can want to check us out, listen to her on Audible.
Yes, but I did a lot of that for a while. I follow a lot of amazing meal preps. There was Eats by Jen, which I don't think she's doing this anymore, but she was a big person that I looked up to. There were Salcedo's Fit Meals. There's DFW Meals. So there was a lot of bigger meal prep companies that I would, you know, I would like look at. And luckily, they were all super sweet to always, if I had a question, they would help. You know, they were never, never type of people to say like, no, like it's a secret sauce, you know, like, no. Like, they were always really sweet to help, you know? I followed a lot of them, and a lot of that was influenced for me as well. My mom as well. And then sometimes they would be like, hey, you should make this. And I was like, okay, yeah, maybe. So I would, you know, do it. But organization for sure. Learning from others, reading, listening, paying attention. Right. I would pay a lot of attention just to, you know, what customers would like, what my orders were running like. Right. You know, am I getting, when I put this meal out, am I getting way more orders than when I put this one out? And, you know, just trying to, I guess, digest a few things out of the business. And then finally, I was like, okay, I've been doing this for a while. I can't continue this. The whole goal is to eventually be a legit company.
Mm-hmm.
So I talked to my divorce attorney, which is a family attorney now. I talked to him and he's like, yeah, like, let's do it. And I said, well, how much is it? And he's like, $1,200. I said, I don't have
$1,200. $1,200 to do it?
Yeah.
Wow.
And see, I'm the type of person that I'm so busy, I like to just hand it to somebody else and let them do it for me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I like to focus on the internal versus the external.
That's how your business works, because some people don't have the time to cook.
Yeah,
they have
exactly.
I do the same thing sometimes.
Yes. So it just, it worked out for me. So that was last year. Yeah. Last year, July of 2022 is when I became legit all the way, all my certifications. And yeah, it's been good since then.
You actually, some of your meals have been in some stores, if mm-hmm. I'm not mistaken. Which stores and how did they even find you?
So Everyday Works in Oak Cliff. Right now, we haven't been in the store for a few months, only because I feel like the teachers that are around that area were the ones that were picking up our meals a lot. And then summer, you know.
Right.
But Everyday Works, so Pressed by Perla, I'm not sure if you heard of her. Super sweet girl. She's in Oak Cliff. She mentioned to me one day when she finally opened up her juicing little spot, because she used to do it at her, I think, her apartment.
Oh, wow.
So she opened a little spot in Oak Cliff, and I was really inspired. I said, I want a little spot too. Like, I really want this. But then I'm like, okay, like, how long will eating healthy be? Because, you know, after COVID, I feel like that's when people really got into like, okay, I gotta be healthy. I gotta eat right. I gotta exercise. Right. I gotta walk. I gotta work out. But you know, she really inspired me, and I talked to her a little bit, and she's like, hey, I have a friend who's going to open a really like healthy little convenience store. So she kind of hooked us up, and it was because of Everyday Works that I turned everything legal, because she's like, I have to have you like in a commercial kitchen. I have to have like all your licensing and things like that, or else I can't sell your meals in here. So that was like my final push to say, let's just do it.
Yeah. Do you still remember your first order when you were legit? And how did it feel? Was there any different from when you were just in the beginning, first prepping meals, to when your everything seems to be together, all your certifications? Any difference? Anything?
No. Honestly, no. I just knew, you know, because people, like the outside customer doesn't care about that.
Yeah. But it's personal.
They
to
just
you
don't
too,
want
though.
Like pelos in there. You know what I mean? And my little girl would say that's the best part. But no, like it happens. But, you know, I don't think people really look at like, is she in a commercial kitchen? Is she legal? Like, does she have her license? Is she wearing gloves? Like, they don't really look at that thing, you know?
But for me,
being in the commercial kitchen, like being like, oh yeah, like I'm wrapping orders out of a commercial kitchen. Like that, it's a good feeling. It's like, que llegue la chota, you know, like I'm good. like I'm good. So
you got no concerns.
Yeah, it's a good feeling. Yes.
You have no
concerns. It's like a security blanket, I guess. You could
absolutely. Because you're, you know, it's the whole shebang now.
Yeah.
Like, that's cool.
Yeah.
So what are your next, because your goals, goal oriented, you got one, the podcast now, you got your LLC. What is next as far as for you, or where you're trying to take it? Your next goals for Healthy Bites?
I would really love to see Healthy Bites in more stores. I think my goal would be to be inside some stores, to have fridges with my wraparound, and, you know, people who are done working out are going to go work out to have meals available to them.
Yeah.
That would be my ultimate goal. I just don't know that I'm ready to let go of my customers. And, you know, I'm in the kitchen. Ram helps me out a lot, too. My oldest daughter, before she got a job, she would help out a lot as well when she can, and she still does. But, you know, I'm just so afraid to bring anybody on, because this business means a lot to me. you know, and having an experience that I had, it's just, it's very traumatic sometimes. And I just, I don't know if I'm ready. So I don't know what I would do. I don't know. I mean, I need people, you know, I know I would need people if I want to get there. I just don't know if I'm ready for that yet.
Pretty sure it'll be brought to you. Tell me about the name itself. Why the way you have it spelled and just itself? Was that also a part of the, after the nap that you got the name?
Kind of, yes. So Healthy Bites by Jazz, double Z, because it's just, it's jazz. It's extra, you know? Mm-hmm. So Healthy Bites by Jazz is just, you know, it's a bite that you take and it's good, but it's healthy.
It's healthy.
Yes.
And as far as the anybody that has diabetes, are you, your focus on some of the recipes and then also your menu? Can you tell us a little bit about your menu?
Yeah. So I've had people reach out and they're like, hey, like I need meals. I'm diabetic. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know if you know, but I have a son who's diabetic. And they're like, oh, so, and you just sense that relief of them.
Wow.
So diabetics usually, you know, obviously no sugars, and it runs off carbs. Depending on the amount of carbs that you eat is what it's affecting your insulin, because your pancreas is not creating any insulin. So they base it a lot of carbs, and we do have a lot. Our meals are very low carb. So we do your basic tray, which would have a protein. It has your veggie and then it has your carb.
Nice.
Because everybody needs carbs, you know, especially if you're working out and stuff. And some people will be like, oh, well, do you do vegan meals? I'm like, no, but I have a great girl who does vegan meals. You know, I don't, I just work with what I know and I'm familiar with and I'm comfortable with. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So the menu itself, what is it? Well, albondigas is one of your top sellers, but what other ones do you have? And is there a little bit of, I'm pretty sure albondigas are Mexicano, but other dishes that are part of that, that is also reflecting in your culture?
We do a chicken mole. We do the albondigas. We do turkey enchiladas. We do pollo con zucchini, or, you know. We do a lot. We do a lot of I think a lot of my meals are like very Mexican.
They do.
Yes, they are. So that one. And then also the steak hibachi is like everybody's favorite.
Which one?
Steak hibachi.
Yeah. Why is that? Why do you think is it?
It's a favorite. It? Yeah. It's a favorite. They always like, when are you going to do the steak hibachi? When are you going to do? I don't know. But, you know, also that one's the one that has the highest calories probably as well.
Probably what it is.
Yeah. I would say so.
How long did it take you to put your menu together? Not to mention, if you wanted to, do you want to go ahead and eventually maybe do a book? Because you have to be able to have the measurements correctly for your menus and things like that. You still do with the, you still do the sazon. You still just like, let the spirits take over.
That's been, that's been a biggest argument with my mom that I tell my sister all the time. Like, Mom, you failed us. Un poquito de eso, una cucharada de aquí, una manita, un pisito. And I'm like, then I go to my friend's house, like, you know, and her mom's like, you take a cup and a tablespoon and a teaspoon. I'm like,
and like,
we didn't learn that way.
We didn't learn that way.
Yeah. So funny that you say that, because I have been talking to a few people and I'm like, how do you start a book? I've either said I could either do a book with like recipes for people who can't, like me, who can cook. They just don't know what or how to make it healthy. Or a book about just my crazy life to be able to relate to your everyday typical mom who lives paycheck to paycheck and has a dream and is still trying to, you know, live this entrepreneur life too. So I don't know.
It's super important. The only reason I know about all that stuff is because I cook myself, but I got that my own little flavor. Uh-huh. But I know a girl, a person that has worked at a restaurant before and created a whole menu, but they were going to be in different places. So every recipe needed to be exactly the same because it needed to have the same exact. So there's a reason why you had to structure the specific measurements. And then that's how, if you put it in the menu, you can put it on a book.
Yes.
But the recipe has to be to the T, because McDonald's is the same thing all the time. You go anytime, any day, the Whopper with, the Mac, my bad, McDonald's. But whatever burger they have, we'll tell you the same thing every single time. It's because of the recipe.
Yeah.
It's the same one. But you're right, though. We are raised like that. We are raised with just ponle poquito y pruébale. That's
it. Y tú le pruebas, mija. Si está bien de sal, ahí le dejas. Y si no, le echas un poquito más.
Let your ancestors guide your hand. Y ya está. That's all you need.
Yes.
Okay, seriously. So thank you very much. We're running short on time, but you have an amazing story again. I didn't doubt whatsoever. Was there anything that you wanted me to touch up on?
No,
that we didn't touch on?
Yeah, I think we're good. I mean, you know, my biggest thing has always been like, don't ever think you can't, you know, and I put that a lot when I work out on my videos, like, hey, if your meal prep girl can, you can too. But it really is like that. I feel like, you know, looking at my life, looking at the things I've been through, situations and what I still go through at times, like, right. If I can do it, you can too.
Where does the, I know that you have mentioned before that you'd rather not, we talked about it too, not entertain the negative, focus more and try to just be positive. Where did that started coming to you as far as being a way of being instead of just focusing on the negative and just mm-hmm. addressing that instead of focusing on the positive or staying more positive because you find it more beneficial to be that way?
I think once you've gone through situations like myself, such as like anxiety and depression, and you've experienced that dark side, you've experienced that sadness, that self-doubt, I think you just don't want to touch on it again. You don't want to be affected that way again. So to me, it's like, I'm human. I do have feelings. I do feel. But again, I was in a situation, unfortunate situation where, you know, now these people got to know me and know who I am. And they're like, you're nothing like, you know, they told us you were. And
yeah.
I've always ignored it because it doesn't, it's just that he said, she said, it's, you're not making my money. We're not eating at the same table. I wish you well from afar, but I refuse to let anybody affect how far I've gotten in life and how much of my happiness I've gained back.
You know, you said that earlier and something came to mind in the way that I function sometimes and I realize sometimes I shouldn't take it personal. But at the same time, if you present yourself the way you are, right, and you have no ill intentions, you're trying to do good, you do good, mm-hmm. you have no desire to harm anybody, you have integrity of the way that you work, your word is what it is, and that's mm-hmm. it. But other people, they get influenced that you thought were friends of yours, go with what other people say. To me, I feel like it's a disqualifier for me of them yeah. to be not part of who I am anymore yeah. because if they didn't believe what I was saying at that time, they didn't believe who I was, they ain't willing to listen to rumors from other people that I just don't feel for me.
Yeah.
If it don't mind, I take it personal, it'll be like, I don't even have those people.
The girls that reached out to me. Yeah,
they will disqualify themselves because I feel like it's cool that yeah. they came around and they said that you're not like that. But mm-hmm. at first glance, they should already yeah. felt that. You know what I yeah. mean?
And I guess for me, because I wasn't talking either. I wasn't defending what they were saying because
right.
I don't have time.
I'm the same way too.
Yeah, like, I didn't have time. I, you know, like I said, I started saying like, okay, I represent Healthy Bites by Jazz, so I got to be a good girl. So yeah, I just didn't have time for it. I as much as I wanted to, and I mean, they would hear a lot of it. I would be like, hey, like, what do I do? Like, she's saying this and they're saying this. Like, what do I do? Like, they're having a whole brunch table talking about me. Like, what do I do in defense to protect my name or to defend myself? You know, and at that time, I was like, nothing. You do absolutely nothing. You continue being who you are. Stay true to yourself and focus on your priorities, which are always God, family, and work. So.
Yeah. I mean, your character should stand for its own, right?
Yeah.
If you know who you are, if you've done what it is, it doesn't matter anymore because at the end of the day, they can have a whole conference about talking about you. You are living rent-free on their minds yeah. while you focusing on the positive thing, which is your business and yeah. growing your business. And you said something very important to me that I feel that I have to do the same thing, that you not only represent your business, your name, everything else that comes with your logo, in addition to all your customers that are dependent on you, that see somebody, not only the good food, but a person that carries themselves with integrity and values. Yeah. And I don't think they would want to buy something from you if you were not that way. You know what yeah. I mean? So you really, really do not to be a goody two shoes, but at the same time, you are a brand.
Yeah.
You have a brand that you have to, you know, build yeah. and continue to protect so other people can see the same thing.
For
so,
sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
So thank you very much for being here. Real quickly,
thank
before
you.
I let you go, all your social media, where can they find you? What other projects are you working at this time?
So we just finished a really big project with Canales Furniture and
oh, yeah.
Sassy Suites.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much. That was another thing I've been always afraid of is like, you know, doing big events, but I've always done back-to-school backpacks since I started Healthy Bites by Jazz. I've, mm-hmm. you know, organized and people give backpacks and I give them back to people who need them. But this year we were able to do over 238 backpacks.
Wow. Can we get a round of applause? Yeah. That's amazing. That is
amazing.
So that
was honestly. Job. And then we had little mini entrepreneurs. So all the vendors that were kids. The mm-hmm. DJ was a kid. Shout out to Amaris. She's amazing. So I think she's 17-year-old wow. DJ.
Yeah, of course.
And it was really good. So we just accomplished that. I feel like people are kicking and saying like, hey, come on, Jazz, do one more. Maybe a back to, you know, toy drive for Christmas. But it's a lot. It's a lot of work. And again, when yes. I tell you I go in, I'm all in. So I'm either doing it or I'm not going to do it. So right now, just really social media. I'm on Instagram as Healthy Bites by Jazz. I'm on Facebook. You can also catch me. I have The Voyage and I think Rebel one as well. Yes. Here. But yeah.
Yes.
I don't do TikTok.
She's here, baby. She's here today, live and in person. And she brought gifts. Yes. Also, Jarito, what's up? You know the business.
Sponsor us, please.
But at the end of the day, like, man, just. I'm not saying y'all need to bring gifts, but yeah. if y'all do, we'll like y'all more. Yes. Thank you very much for bringing that, by the way.
Yeah.
So any shout-outs that you have? Any people that is special to you? Of course, the ladies that are
yes.
here. Anybody
the girls
else?
That are in the house today, for sure. Shout-out to my parents, man. My parents, especially my mom. My mom thinks I can do everything and anything, and I'm always like, ay, mamá, necesito encontrar alguien que me pueda hacer stickers. Ah, mija, tú lo puedes hacer. I'm like, I can't make stickers, Mom, but thank you for believing in me. So my parents, for sure, my siblings, who have always been amazing second parents to my kids when, you know, I needed them. My partner, Ram, who is always down. He's always down, never complains. He's just, you know, go, go, go. Sad that he couldn't be here today, but, you know, he had a tocada today. So shout out
it's
to Conjunto Encuentro from San Luis
shout
Potosí
out to
as well.
Conjunto Encuentro.
Yes.
Maybe we'll do something with them later on.
Hey, whenever you're ready, we're good. So, yes, they, you know, just everybody who supported me, the meal prep, like I said, Saceros, DFW, Eats by Jen, my trainer now, I'm with I Am One Training. The trainer before them, it was Steph Rosales with Killer Fit Camp. Mm-hmm. So I've had a few trainers, but shout out to all the trainers. I've made an impact in my life. Everybody who has inspired me and pushed me. And yeah, shout out to you and your business for having me and allowing me to check this off of my bucket list for this year.
Absolutely.
You're welcome. Thank you.
It's a pleasure. It really is. Somebody was asking me, they were interviewing me, like, the people that you bring, who's your, like, the best favorite podcast, everything. Every mm-hmm. single one of y'all, especially for the same reason that y'all doing what y'all doing. And I was mm-hmm. telling them also that I don't mind having celebrities and have people that are known. But at the end of the day, I want you all, they are my celebrities. I want to present everything professionally. I want you to look great. I want you to sound amazing, to be able to share your stories so they be able to inspire other Latinos, other human beings too, to be like, you know what? There's more to life. Even though I was at this place really dark, at the same time, I kept striving. I kept moving yes. forward. And you're not alone. Like, there's other people going through it.
Absolutely.
And you can still continue and move forward of your dreams, goals, or whatever it is. So.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
No,
I appreciate
you. Thank
you
so much for having me. Yeah, anybody who struggles with that, I'm an open book. I'm always willing to share my story. Again, you can always find me on social media, Healthy Bites by Jazz.
Awesome. Okay, what is one very important lesson that you learned in the business, meal prepping, that you will tell your younger self that will help somebody else?
You can't make everybody happy, Jazz. That would probably be the one thing. I feel like I'm such a people pleaser. I want everybody happy. I want everybody to like their meals. I want my price to be right for them. And I feel like sometimes, you know, you'll find your customers and not everybody's for you and you're not going to be for everybody. And that is okay.
There's 8 billion people in the world. Some people don't even like money. Some people, the things that you like, they don't like at yeah. all whatsoever. So it's okay to find the people that are for yeah. you and then
it's
grow
okay.
from there. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, this one's a little deeper. Usually when I wake up or throughout the day, I say something along the lines that I'm not immortal. I am mortal and I will die one day. I heard it from this guru before. And that's not to scare me, right? It's not to be like, oh my God, you're going to go. It's the fact that it's a fact of life. Not to mention, it makes me realize that I need to hurry up and do things now because mm-hmm. you never know. With that, I wish you a long, prosperous life. I wish
so you much.
Really
Likewise.
Do very successful.
Thank
but
you.
But everything said and done, what do you want people to think and feel about your life at the end?
To think and like a legacy that I always think
whichever,
of that. I always think
whichever.
Of my legacy and I want to make an impact and I want people to know that life matters. You matter. And no matter what, one step in front of the other. I think that would be that. And I think I want people to remember me just by a person who always fought. You know, I tell my kids, ustedes tienen una madre luchadora. Like, I'm fighting. I'm still fighting. And I want y'all to know that. And I want y'all, when you go through, you know, bad situations, someone else on the other side is going through something worse. And they're still fighting. So
yeah, they got they have a great example.
Yeah,
they have a Thank good example. You. Absolutely.
Thank you so much. Yeah, but that, and you know, my dad always used to say, "Mija, uno descansa cuando se muera." You know, you'll rest when you die. So I feel like that's always stuck with me too. I just talked to somebody about that today, and I feel like that stuck with me. So I feel like we're gonna keep going hasta que Dios nos llame.
Yeah, absolutely. So whenever I saw your message shortly after I had Naomi, the homie mm-hmm. in the house. Mm-hmm. It was pretty cool to see that people are actually looking. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So sometimes you feel like you're talking to a void and there's nobody listening, right? So when you sent me the email, I got excited. Like, that's pretty cool. And then I started seeing what you're all about. And it took us a couple of tries to get it right.
Yes.
And I'm very sorry for your loss. But at the end of the day, we're here.
Yes.
And then to be able to just listen to your story and be able to go all this stuff. I got emotional whenever you were talking about the things you were, because I still feel that, right?
Yeah.
I'm still a person that I'm learning from you all. And I get inspired also to do different things. And it's amazing from the times, even when you were a little girl, that you knew that you're always going to be a boss, right? To the time where you figure all this stuff to create your business, start doing a business, didn't work out, but didn't quit on it. And eventually you found your way, what it is that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I feel that's amazing. Without a doubt, Jasmine, you are a global land factor. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Round of applause, otro aplauso.
Thank you.
I like the applausos.
Thank you so much.
This was another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember, we are just like you. We are the spice in this melting pot that it is the world. Till next time. Bye. Thank you very much for checking out another episode of the Global Latin Factor podcast. Remember to subscribe, hit the bell. It means a lot to us. You don't understand how much you are appreciated whenever you do that. It helps us so much. And we are quickly moving on different platforms of the Latino community so we can bring you a lot more important content about Latinos. And it's all thanks to you. Thank you very much.
Del amigo, walks like a pero, but in fact he's a flamingo. Coming to Havana and drink from Puerto Rico on a pirate ship. He don't know where do we go. The birds of the jungle chasing fortune and fame, but Juan is flamingo is not walking the same. Balague de la flauta and banana.